Okay, this is the Comedy Cellar Show on Sirius XM 99. And this is Dan Natterman, which can only mean one thing, of course, that Noam is not here. He's having some sort of family difficulties. I'm not sure what it is. I hope he didn't kill his wife, but I'm not ruling anything out.
Great positive start to the show today.
Well, thank you. That's Lisa Traeger, and we'll get to you. And by the way, I just want to, it was kind of complicated, the whole thing, because I canceled. You didn't get back to me, so I said the show was canceled.
It was 20 minutes. You texted me in the middle of my work day. It took me 20 minutes to get back to you, and that meant I was just, you know, off the grid, dead, not interested.
I mean, I suppose if you want...
I mean, how do you get a date? At
the
this?
Pressure.
You just decide a girl's not into you if she... Go ahead.
No, the pressure to respond nowadays is too quick, business-wise, personal-wise. People are nuts.
It's crazy.
Well, just wait a while.
I guess if I had to really look deep within myself, it may well be that I didn't feel like doing this show tonight. It's certainly possible.
Honesty is a great policy.
Because, it's always annoying. You know how I feel about it.
You hate doing
it. I know.
I don't necessarily hate doing it. But if you haven't been on before. Usually with me and Noam, there's a lot of arguing back and forth. Noam's not here tonight. But generally, it's very stressful.
About, like, politics?
No. Noam wants to run the show his way, and I want to talk more about show business and the Comedy Cellar, and Noam wants to talk about the Democrats and the Republicans and Candy Crowley and things that I don't know much about. So
yeah.
I'm generally... And to add to that, I'm in what I call the zone of darkness tonight.
Tonight? Recurring.
The zone of darkness is a particular phenomenon. It's a word that I invented, but I don't think it's... I think it's familiar to most comedians. What I'm doing, I'm going out of town on Friday. I have a gig in Colorado. I'm leaving Thursday.
Okay.
Because I don't want to double stress it. I don't want the stress of traveling and the stress of a show on the same day. So I'm going out Thursday and doing the show Friday.
Okay.
But the zone of darkness, that's where the anxiety starts. In other words, the show is Friday. The zone of darkness starts at about Tuesday.
Okay, fair.
Only when I'm out of town. That's when I start getting anxiety-ridden and wish I had chosen another profession. Do you have that, Lisa Traeger? This is Lisa Traeger. She's a relatively young comic. I don't want to ask a lady her age.
I'm 28.
Well, that's young enough to ask.
Yeah.
That's young
and
enough
I've been
to
doing
ask.
It 7 years. So a young girl.
That would be a young girl. By certainly compared to me, that's a young girl. And you, do you experience this phenomenon?
Not for traveling. I'm really happy. I like it. I like doing shows. I'm like in a great mood. I like traveling because you don't have to do other stuff. You can be on your phone. You're reading magazines, you know, ordering in Jimmy John's. Like, I enjoy that. I like hotels. I like to snap on planes. I'm fine with
you've
it.
You've got the right attitude.
Yeah, I have a good attitude.
Well, you should be doing that. This is the line of work for you, then.
But did you ever have that attitude, Dan, at some point?
I never did. No. I never did. I always thought of stand-up. The first time I did The Road, I said to myself, this can't be. This is horrifying.
I also travel with a friend, me and Mateo Lane co-headline a lot.
Oh, I love Mateo. And Mateo Lane is a flaming homosexual.
Yes.
And I don't say that disparagingly. He's
a fruit, and I'm a cunt, and we go on the road, and it's great. And we bring Nintendo 64, we go to arcades, we watch Bravo in bed. It's a dream.
Maybe I need my own Mateo Lane. You and I are very different, obviously. We've established that. You have a positive attitude.
Just hope.
She has a great attitude.
This is the first year I'm like a real comedian. You know, I quit my day job in May.
What was that job?
I was a backup nanny, so I was like a substitute nanny.
I didn't know that Manny's had substitutes.
Yeah, so I worked for
I guess
an
that
agency.
Makes sense.
Yeah, a lot of people's jobs pay for backup care so their parents don't miss work.
Well, congratulations on quitting your day job. That's a...
So for me, it's like everything's great. Everything that I've ever wanted in my life is happening. I get to sleep in. I'm performing at the Cellar. I do comedy every night. I'm traveling. It's like I can't even be upset. I wish I was thinner and getting fucked more, but other than that...
Well, I wanted to talk about that since you did bring it up. I didn't say anything about her weight, by the way, if you'll notice. I think you're fabulous the way you are.
But you did
mention you wanted to get thinner.
Yeah.
But don't you think, though, that... You know, there's a lot of... And you're not in this category in any way, shape, or form, if you'll pardon the, expression. There are some comics that their weight is their act.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And
I was thinner before, It's not... I just... talk. Now I'm eating.
But do you reference it all in your act, your own insecurities about your body?
Yeah, for sure.
And do you think that if you lost weight, I don't want you to be, Amy Schumer had said, and I normally don't quote Amy Schumer, so this is a rare event, but But yes. She said that a woman in comedy should be pretty, but not too pretty.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if you agree with that. But my point is that part of your charm is, hey, this chick is kind of, you know, struggling
like
with her body image.
Oh, I don't. I just have pants I don't fit into and outfits, and I'd like to fit into them again.
You just struggle getting into clothes sometimes.
Yeah. <That's about it. laughs> Yeah. I also want to just like, if there was a skinny dipping opportunity, I want to be able to just go skinny dipping.
No qualms.
With
just,
no problems.
Yeah, just in the water. Although, Dan, I don't know. Well, Dan would have some qualms just jumping in the skinny dipping river, wouldn't you?
Well, is the water cold? I'm not good with anything under about 90.
Really? So only hot tubs?
Exactly.
Well, no. If it's 85 or above, I can do it. But I don't like, when I go into the water, I don't like that initial, hey! You know what I mean? I which is almost always going to happen.
Yeah, I was going to say.
Unless the 90 is about the level where the stops and you just can walk in.
That's insane.
And anything less than 90, there's that initial whoa.
What about when it's 90 plus outside temperature, like, and you're dying?
Well, first of all, there's no pools that are ever 90, but I would prefer it if there were.
In New Orleans, I had a heated pool, and it was so hot outside, and I was like, what are you guys doing?
Yeah, but water is still cooling. It's still 90-degree water is still cool.
No, there's nothing worse than a heated pool on a hot day. When you, like, are somewhere, and then you realize the pool's heated, and it's hot outside, it's the fucking worst.
Where the hell is Ryan Hamilton, by the way? Not that we need him, but he's just such an on-time
guy.
You
want another male energy?
Well, no, it's just, I'm just wondering if he maybe got shanghaied.
What does that mean, Slit?
No, I think shanghaied, when they used to kidnap you and send you to Shanghai or something. In the old it's an old word you like hear
it
on Abbott.
It is an old word, but I don't
you'd
know
hear
exactly.
It on like Abbott and Costello would be like, "Hey, did you get Shanghai'd?"
Right.
Ryan, thanks for coming. I know you hate doing the show. I don't know why they asked you to do the show. It had
show.
Nothing to do with me.
I know.
All of a sudden, they said to me, "Ryan Hamilton's doing the show." I said, "Ryan Hamilton can't. There's nothing he'd rather do less than this show. Why are you bothering
it's
the kid?"
It's not anything about this show. I'm not in love with. With podcast.
No, and so, but they.
But this isn't a podcast, this is a radio show.
Well, it's also a podcast. But what the fuck is the difference? There's a mic and you're talking.
It's a long form interview show.
No one wants to know anything about you, so don't worry.
We'll get to it.
I find that.
But Lisa, you're not familiar with the context of our show. It's not all about the guests, it's also about the recurring characters.
Right.
Gnome, the put upon husband. The tortured genius, that's me.
Right.
Kristen.
The poor woman stuck in between of your bullshit.
Well, I was going to say the girl who can't say no. But the point is we have recurring characters here, so we have to, it's like a reality show.
Yeah.
That's my vision, and that's why me and Noam clash.
What's put upon husband mean?
Have you seen the guy?
Just that everything.
Just have you seen his walk? That's the walk of a man.
He just carries the world on his shoulders, and all the decisions come down to his finger on the button. And
well,
no
anyway,
one
Ryan,
understands.
Thank you for coming.
Sure,
but, Ryan, what is your zone of darkness?
What do you mean?
Oh, I'm sorry, I made that term up.
I bet you Ryan does not have a zone of darkness.
The zone of darkness is the days preceding a gig where you start to feel shitty because you know the gig is coming up.
A road gig, right?
Okay.
Yeah, road gig.
What kind of gig? It depends on the gig.
In this particular case, I'm doing a corporate gig on Friday in Colorado.
Corporates have the longest zone of darkness, for sure.
DOD.
The largest.
The ZOD equivalent is rather high.
There's a whole...
Lisa does not have a zone of darkness.
Nothing?
I do. I just have to figure it out.
All right. You'll get back to us.
Yeah.
I get nervous at least a day before a corporate that I feel like is going to be difficult. One day at least.
One day. Okay, so for me it starts generally the week prior.
Okay.
And I'm in heavy zone of darkness right now because I have it's on Friday and now we're Tuesday.
Right.
Really? Already?
Tomorrow's Wednesday.
I'm leaving Thursday because I cannot handle the double stress of travel and show on the same day.
I hear you there.
Oh, so you're
I'd rather go in a day early a lot of times if it's a long flight for a gig like that.
So I'm not the only one. You see, Kristen, I'm not so crazy.
Yeah, I like to land somewhere super early so I can nap in the hotel first, for sure.
But all right, you so go we're a day early? She doesn't go a day
early.
Well,
if you had to go to Colorado, as I am going to Colorado,
right.
Would you go a day early?
Yeah, because I want to smoke weed. So I definitely would.
A lot of times they require you to go a day early, it seems like, because they get
They just want to make sure you're there.
Because if you land 3 hours before the gig, that's something goes wrong.
That's what you should think about. The client is also in his or her own zone of darkness.
That's true.
I'm scared
that you might not make it, and their event is going to go to shit.
Mostly, they're in a zone. True. They're in a zone of wonder because, you know, the excitement of the show. There is some anxiety on their end, I suppose. I think it's mostly excitement. I don't think we've had, by the way, Ryan here because he told me he doesn't want to do this show.
I don't want it. It's not this show. I don't like doing any of these.
How do they convince Esty? Whatever
you want to call me. He's afraid of Esty.
No, this is the only one I do. I don't know that I've ever said no to this one. I've just kind of made it known that I don't.
Okay. Well, the last time you were here, I think, was a year ago because we were talking about pilot season.
Really?
I believe.
Wow.
And you've just come back from pilot season.
Again.
Now, let me explain what pilot season is to the uninitiated. That's when people go to L.A. to audition for pilots for TV shows. A pilot is a show that they do that is like a test show, and then the network sees if they want to put the show on the air.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
So every year, like January through March, people flock to L.A. kind of like, you know, the birds flying south for the winter. But in this case, it's actors flying west for pilot season.
But I find that it's not that many people anymore.
Because have you ever done it, Lisa Traeger?
I have not. And I think it's less because there's not a strict like network pilot season, really. Like,
yeah.
Shows are getting bought and made all the time now. And there's more things happening in New York.
But despite all that, Ryan went anyway.
Yes.
I went anyway.
Because his agent,
for some reason.
You know, it is what it is. The agent is like, yeah, come out. What do we care? We're not paying for it. Fuck it. Yeah. The agent doesn't give a fuck. You tell the agent, should I come out for pilot season? Yeah, why not? Stay at a 4-star hotel, order room service. We don't give a fuck. It's not our money. And when you have to go back to New York,
yeah.
What do they care?
Yeah.
So well, your agent yeah. told you to go.
Yeah.
And you went. But now last year, unfortunately, you didn't book anything. But this year,
I didn't book anything.
Oh, okay. Well, you get them
it's
next
okay.
time.
But now when you go out for pilot season, when your agent encourages you to go yeah. out, does the agency set you up for auditions? Or are they just kind of...
It's very hard to plan. It's like you go out there and then they don't know what's going to happen. And then a day or two before, they go, you have this audition for this thing that came up.
Okay.
So it's you can't really plan. I mean, they tell me, they don't say you have to come out. They say... Come out, and we'll see what happens. Nobody knows what's going
so
to happen.
So there's a chance you could go out there, and you're just basically having a little vacay for a couple days. And
yeah, it's
do
a good
anything.
Time to be in the sun, I figure. I see some friends. It's a long time to be gone. That's the hard part. But
how long is the whole?
I went for 6 weeks, but you can go. Some people go for a couple weeks. Some people go for 2 months. Some people don't go at all.
Lisa, by the way, last night I was overhearing something. At the table.
That means he was eavesdropping. And,
no, we're all sitting at this table, and you hear everything that everybody says. And Lisa's got something going on with Comedy Central. I'm not sure what it is. I'm not sure I want to know, to be honest with you.
You're going
to
get mad, Dan.
Because I'll probably get upset, because Comedy Central pays me no mind. But I know she's got something cooking. So I'm going to hear about it anyway. You might as well tell me. It's now, make
just,
it fast.
It's just a Snapchat show on their Snapchat channel.
Oh, they got a Snapchat?
Yeah, so I'm doing 6 episodes. They're each just like a minute 30. I did them before. It's called Like It With Lisa. And I just tell people what to do, you know?
That's
like,
cool.
Eat it, watch it, stop it. Do it.
It seems like Comedy Central is giving a lot of shit out these days.
Mine's pretty good.
To all kinds of people.
No, he doesn't mean shit like
no,
not
stuff.
Good
I don't
stuff.
Mean
he
both.
Means like giving a lot of
It may or may not be
out.
Good yeah. stuff. I haven't seen.
It's just for them, it's so cheap to make. And they have 2 million daily users on their thing. You do a quick 10 seconds. And then if you make someone swipe up, they can watch it. They could not. But it's nice to, what's it called, nurture young talent.
Yeah, and what happens is hopefully this could lead to something else, which maybe leads to something
on
their
else.
Network.
Yeah.
They've developed shows like that.
And I got to get paid, you know? I'll do anything. I do so many comedy game shows, I can't even imagine.
What do you mean comedy game shows?
Lie detectors. I've done it. Joking off. I've been there.
Where?
Comedy Knockout.
Where is this midnight. Happening?
All these dumb
oh,
channels.
Oh, on TV.
Yeah.
I don't even Liza, know.
You just do weird things for money.
Lisa, I should say, is a rising star. She's a rising. I don't know if she's a rising star.
Let's
she's
not talk
rising.
About that. But can we talk? I figured out my zone of darkness.
Oh, go ahead.
It's when I know I'm about to see an enemy.
Oh.
When like I know it's someone I don't like and I'm going to have to be around them.
But that is not the strict definition of zone of darkness. Zone of darkness is a very specific term dealing with gigs on the road.
Oh, that's the... Oh, I thought it's just any zone of darkness.
Well, I don't know why you would think that.
Well, she made her own zone of darkness because she doesn't have one for travel. So her, for her...
You can't just make shit up.
Why? Zone of Darkness?
That's like saying hummus now, from now on, is a hamburger, is hummus. Well,
I thought Zone of Darkness is just what gives you sadness and anxiety when you're waiting for something to happen. What happens in shows when you know you're going to do... Like, I have an enemy...
Zone of Darkness right now.
Will you please Google Zone of Darkness?
I think that would be futile.
But I'm talking with gigs. Like, I have a gig coming up in May with someone I don't like, and I'm already like, great, I'm going to have to deal with this goddamn
bullshit.
Well, that's
a gig. All right, that's fair. Let me Google Zone of Darkness, because I can't... I mean... There's got to be some.
It's going to be like an Urban Dictionary as like the zone asshole or something, or like, you know, the
I mean, it's a term that I kind
of space between the
that I made up for me, but there's got to be, I'm sure, somewhere, because everything is, you know, Zone of Darkness.
I don't even want to know. It's going to come up.
That was an episode
to Dan's Wikipedia. Yeah. Page.
It's going to have something to do with like shitting in someone's mouth.
It was an episode of Spiral Zone. I don't know what that is.
That?
Zone of Darkness, Puzzles and Dragons.
We're in a zone of darkness
anyway,
now.
Anyway, forget it.
Yeah, the show.
I want to talk about the new kitchen going on here.
Okay.
All right, now, the restaurant upstairs from the Comedy Cellar, Noam Dorman owns both. He owns the Comedy Cellar downstairs and the restaurant upstairs, and by all accounts, both are very profitable. But neither bring him happiness, apparently. Because he's got some...
He'll tell you that the Olive Tree isn't profitable, that the Comedy Cellar is poor.
Well,
you know,
I know he says that, but nobody buys that argument. Noam's not pretending to be poor, but he's certainly pretending to be less wealthy than I suspect that he is, and that's fine.
But they keep the prices down. They could up the prices on the food, you know, knowing people come here for the cellar. They don't. We're not selling, you know, gold-dusted hummus.
Right.
Well,
prices
anyway,
very reasonable.
Those of us who've been coming here for a long time, and I'm the senior member here, because Ryan, you've been coming about 10 years, I think. Lee's is very, very
new. Not that long.
Okay, so I've been eating the menu items here for the better part of 2 decades.
Yeah.
And it's enough.
You've had it?
I've had enough. I can't stand it anymore. They never changed the menu. Let me tell you, you know when the last
so
time
you
they-
should be happy
I've been
about
coming
that.
Here
I am happy
you-
about it.
Okay,
that's
great.
Why I want to say this is a celebration.
Oh, great.
You know when the last time they changed the menu was? When they discontinued pterodactyl burgers.
Oh, God, Dan.
That's
always,
how long. That's
always
how
a
long,
Flintstone reference.
That's
with
how long ago it was.
That's not true. Ava changed the menu a couple years ago.
They brought in.
Added new stuff.
Yeah, they got in some macaroni and cheese that'll fucking give you a heart attack.
added some
viscous cheese. The salad.
It was all Middle Eastern before.
It was all Middle Eastern and hamburgers.
What about the wings, though? Is that
that's
that a new
staple.
Addition?
No, that's been here for years. Okay.
But let me explain something, because I was here when the menu first was. Was changed.
It was marginally changed.
Okay, marginally, things were added. There used to be a shawarma
wheel
in the window, in the front. People came here once we removed it and made it into that little sitting area over there.
Right.
People came and were beside themselves that we no longer served shawarma.
I've heard,
at least a year after. I mean, droves of people were just so, like, wouldn't eat and left. And so people are tied to a lot of the menu items. It doesn't just, you know.
The borscht is,
I'm
like
not saying
special.
To get rid of anything. They keep adding, I keep that.
You can't keep adding 100 things. Then you're like a diner.
No, I think
nothing's
they're taking
good.
Things out. I think they're going to cut some shit.
Well, the menu is limited. And I, for one, have had enough. And the people can only be pushed so far. Now apparently they need like a steak and eggs later. Now, I don't know what they're going to get in here, but enough is enough.
Okay.
How many fucking of those kebabs can I eat? I've been eating so many chicken kebabs, I wake up at the crack of dawn and cock-a-doodle-doo.
Dan. What? This is...
That's a good shirt.
Tortured genius over
here. Tortured genius.
But you keep eating them, so...
Because here's the thing. We come to the Comedy Cellar, and we are here, and my friends are here, and Ryan is here, and Lise is here, who's a newer friend, and Kristen is never here. But if she were, she would be here. And we
eat sometimes.
And then I want to eat somewhere else, but everybody's here eating, so I'm like, fuck it. I can either eat alone somewhere else or talk about... You know, getting road pussy with Ryan Hamilton.
Right.
And
that's what we always talk
that's
about,
what you guys,
isn't it?
I could see that.
And and so I prefer to stay here. But Lisa, what are your thoughts on the food?
But there's going to be steaks, I heard.
Yes, I did hear that. Wow. I'm quite excited for that.
Wow.
It's going to open up a whole new thing on discounts, and you're going to pay full price. Just
but
you
we,
wait.
We have a whole, like, 6-week period at least where we won't have food here
at all,
or we'll have some food.
Well, because they have to do the construction.
Yeah,
we'll have to order in.
Yeah, I heard they're going to do
6 weeks
paninis from
around
the corner.
Why don't you go back up for pilot season for another 6 weeks and ride out the storm?
But that only makes sense, doesn't it?
By the way, I don't know when this is actually going to hit the podcast. We're a podcast and a radio show, mm-hmm. but the podcast is posted later.
Right.
We're already a little late. Last week, we did not, for some reason, talk about Gary Shandling.
Oh, really?
Yeah, for some reason, it never.
We got sidetracked.
And then there was the usual.
The plus-size models were here.
The plus-size
right.
models.
Really?
So they couldn't keep. Yeah.
We could have talked about Gary Shandling with the plus-size model. But he died. I don't know if you heard.
Yes, I did.
Okay. Yeah.
Did you meet him?
I never met him, no. But he never, came here, I don't think.
I worked with him one time in L.A., and he was very...
People said he was a very sweet guy.
I had a great week. I was at Comedy and Magic Club, and I showed up one day, and he was there early, writing. And he just started writing with me. Whoever was in the green room, he would write with. And then he did some of the stuff on stage that we had worked on. And then the next day, I got there early, just because I thought he'll be there earlier, and he was. And we did that 3 days in a row, and every day he came back and would say, hey, I was thinking about that thing, and here's what I did with it. And then he would use the tags that you gave him on stage. It was really collaborative and cool, the way he created stand-up, at least for those 3 days. Really nice guy.
Yeah, well,
it was a cool experience.
I had met him. Was it a heart attack? I'm not sure if they're doing an autopsy or... And I read something about hyperthyroidism.
That's what I have.
Oh, you do?
Do you?
Yeah.
So be careful.
I'm getting an ultrasound at the end of the month. Well, I was I did something on some on-camera work recently, and someone on Twitter wrote to me, it looks like you have thyroid cancer.
Oh, my God.
But I have a hypothyroid, so I'm just getting I go every 6 months, but I'm going for an extra one just in case.
And that affects your weight, too, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Having hypothyroids?
Yeah. I blame it a lot, but I also don't exercise.
It does have an
effect. Your metabolism's fucked. Yeah. You're more fatigued. There's a lot of issues. Hair, it's a lot of stuff. It's a hormone. But I've been on pills since I was in third grade.
Wow. So you never know somebody's interest. Here I thought Lisa Traeger had the world by the nutsack.
No.
With no problem, just gliding through life, singing a happy tune. And she's living with hyperthyroidism.
But speaking of that, because I did notice on Twitter, there was kind of a, some comedian or just people in general didn't like Gary Shandling. They didn't think he was funny. And there was kind of some...
Oh, wow.
There was just one person, and instead of letting it go... People are outraged, and it causes more of a commotion instead of focusing on the life of someone.
Yeah.
I think it was just one guy with a check mark.
Not even...
Well, in the world of Twitter and Facebook and social media, you're not going to be unscathed. I mean, there's someone's not going to like you.
Yeah.
And you're going to know about it.
Well, how do you guys deal with that? How do you deal with comments? Do you just let them go? Do you respond?
Well, the thing is, my friend told me a story that she had something with her eye, but she didn't know, and someone ran up to her and said, I work with this disease. You have it. And then they went to the doctor, and they had this disease. So before getting mad, I was just like, maybe I should just go get checked out. Because you've had three surgeries
before. So you're
saying Twitter...
Wait, you're saying somebody posted something, and that's how you knew you had the disease?
No, this happened to someone else. So when she wrote it to me, I'm like, oh, yeah, maybe I should go get an extra checkup. I didn't mind.
Meaning that the person might actually know what thyroid cancer looks like.
Yeah, because I responded and I was like, yeah, I get checked out and I've been on medication. Thank you. And she wrote, glad you're handling your thyroid. Great work on the show.
Somebody.
So it wasn't me. That's the thing.
Oh, okay.
Somebody tweeted at Ryan Hamilton, you should get checked for Jerry Seinfelditis.
Dan, you are stinking it up today.
But people do write mean stuff.
What are you talking about? He's howling with laughter.
This is what happens in your zone of darkness, I see.
By the way,
the
good news is Jerry Seinfeld probably won't die for a good while. And I'll be honest with you, I'm not convinced he's ever going to die.
Yeah.
I don't see Seinfeld dying.
Yeah, he's pretty young at heart.
He just seems like the kind of guy that would just be too arrogant to die.
What?
I just say, I don't understand, these comics are dying. Just don't die. It's easy.
Good one.
Oh, God.
No, but sometimes people write mean shit. I just ignore it. Well, I go on their page, and they're usually conservative, I love guns,
right.
3 followers. So, looking for me? All right, I'm going to go host, back.
Well, you're certainly
upstairs.
Welcome to come back. We will save the seat for you.
I'll tell you how the crowd was.
Oh, that'd be wonderful. We'll get a real... This is something that we haven't done
yet. Yeah, real life.
On the... The podcast/radio show.
Ryan, do you have to deal with haters on the Twitters?
Nobody hates Ryan. Do you understand? Ryan is like the Red Cross.
You never know what people are going to get offended by.
Well, you never know, but it ain't going to be anything Hamilton says. That's the only thing we can say with any degree of certainty.
I have that joke. Maybe we've talked about this even, but I have that joke about hot air balloons, and then somebody was offended by it.
Oh, yeah, you did tell me.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, for real. And so now I talk about that in my act sometimes, too. They complained to the comedy
club. You were making a mockery of hot air balloons.
Yeah, and then the club manager thought it was...
I can't even take this seriously.
Yeah, and then the club manager thought it was so ridiculous that they complained. He said, hey, will you go talk to these people as a joke? You know, he just was like, they want to meet you, and they have something to say. And they were deeply offended by my hot air ballooning stance.
I'm a romantic. Are you a romantic? You got to do things. Do you believe in romance? I try. It's hard. You do things, and then... your planet sucks all the life out of it, you know? There's no spontaneity in it anymore. It's difficult. I went on a hot air balloon ride with a girl. I thought that would be romantic. It's terrifying. It's not romantic. It's not, and there are all these obstacles. You have to get up at 5 o'clock in the morning. Did you know that? Hot air balloons, they don't even work during the day. I didn't know that. We were finished. Finished. At 7 a.m. Where do you go from there? Do you want to hit Denny's? Is that what we should do? Hey, do you want to take a 12-hour nap and I'll pick you up? These are the options. It looks so peaceful and serene from the ground, doesn't it? I got up there and I realized this is panic-inducing is what it is. I have a death grip on a wicker basket. It's made of wicker. Why are we flying around in wicker? They don't make planes of wicker. They don't make frisbees of wicker. I don't trust wicker on the ground. Have you ever sat on anything wicker? This is the only thought in my head. It's breaking. I can hear it breaking. Did you know your furniture is made of weeds? Did you know that? It's a tiny wicker basket in the sky. Oh, by the way, everyone, attached to a flamethrower. Is that a good idea? Who approved that? Where's the FAA? Where? I gotta take off my shoes to board a flight, but I can fly around on patio furniture? Attached to a campfire? That's okay? Why is that okay? And the basket is so small. If you saw this basket in your kitchen, this is what would go through your head. Bananas, I guess. We'll put some fruit in there or something like that. You would never look at it and go, we should fly around in that. We should get some people up in the sky in that tiny basket. And there's a man in there. There's a man. Have you ever been in any romantic experience ever and thought, you know, if we had an extra person in the corner just staring at us, that would really make this moment. I think if we just had... it's awkward. I don't know. It's weird. He's as far away as he can possibly be. I can hear him breathing. I don't like it. I don't like the guy. He's a little arrogant. He calls himself a pilot, which... look, I don't know a lot, but you don't even know where we're going. Do you know where we're going? You're comfortable with pilot? Let's make a deal. You tell me where we're going and I'll call you captain. How about that? I asked him, where are we going? Do you know what he said? I've got up or down. What do you want? Well, I want down. I'm terrified of your stupid death trap. It's stupid. Did you know hot air balloon, it never lands. It crashes every time. There is no landing. If you're in the sky in a hot air balloon, you're going down. I mean, eventually, it's going to crash. In your head, it floats down gently to the earth. That is not reality. Reality involves an angle and velocity, and it attacks the earth. Like a wicker shovel with just an enormous sail, and it's just drug across the land. And if you happen to survive, you get out and you dust yourself off and you go, happy anniversary. Do you want to get some eggs? Captain Crash said he knows a spot. Stupid. It's the only form of transportation. Once you land, someone has to come pick you up and take you back to where you started. then you can get where you want to go. Never worked. Someone invented it and said, we can fly. Where? Well, we're working on that. And you're being a little picky. You know, it's impractical. No one's ever said, I got to run to the store. Take the balloon. It's just sitting out there. No one ever uses it. Someone told me that the hot air balloon became popular during the Civil War because we would use it to spy on each other's armies. I mean, okay, but how? I can't come up with a scenario where that's even possible. You know, like, hey, they're right in front of you. No, I think they can hear me too, maybe. I'm not sure. They can definitely see me. That's for sure. This thing is 12 colors. Where did you get this? It says Remax on the side. They're shooting at me now. Comedy's pretty tough, everybody. You know, some people don't like 15 minutes of hot air balloon jokes. That's all I do. Someone came up to me. This is how difficult comedy is. This is a real scenario. Someone came up to me after a show. Actually, it was a couple, and they complained to the club manager. And then the club manager came to me and said, hey, you got to go talk to these people. And he said, I can't wait to watch. And he was laughing maniacally. And I went out, and everything about this couple was cold. Their body language, everything. They did not care for me. And I approached them, and they said, we are hot air balloonists. Now, look, I didn't want to laugh at them, you know, but they did call themselves balloonists. Can we all agree that that's hilarious? And they said, look, you don't understand our hobby. It's recreational, and it's fun, and it's safe, and you don't get it. They were for real. Do you know what went through my head listening to them? Here's what I thought. I have finally become the edgy, boundary-pushing comedian. Thank you, that's right. I'm out here talking about the topics that no one else will talk about. And you know what? I am pushing some buttons, sure. But I'm not going to stand up here and apologize for it. So if there are hot air balloonists here tonight, hear me now. You can go home. Deal with it. What if I wasn't done with hot air balloon material?
I've talked about it before on the air, but about being an uncle and how the only rule of being an uncle is an easy job. Like being a parent, you got to do a lot of different things when you're a parent, right? Mm-hmm. But being an uncle, just don't molest the kid.
Right.
Okay, that's the setup, and there's more to the joke than that. But yeah, being an uncle is an easy job, and it's almost impossible to be a bad uncle unless you commit a sex crime. That's pretty much the only way to mess up unclehood. Like if all you do is not molest your niece or nephew, you're considered a reasonable uncle. You know, there's a lot of ways to be a bad father, right? Somebody says to you, I had a bad father. That can mean anything. That can mean he wasn't there for you financially, emotionally. He didn't nurture you. He didn't care for you. But if someone says to you, I had a bad uncle, you know what that means, okay? There ain't no ambiguity there. You knew, right? You never had to ask, oh, why was he a bad uncle? You just ask, oh, how often was he a bad uncle? Where did he bad uncle you? But somebody came out. I was in Aruba with Aruba Ray.
Yeah.
And some French-Canadian woman came out and started screaming at me about, you can't talk about molesting children. I can't believe you talk about this. That's not really a French-Canadian accent, but you get the idea.
We get the idea.
But the joke, I'm not advocating molesting children, obviously. I'm saying just don't. In fact, I'm saying don't molest children.
Yeah.
I should be a hero.
Right.
But But she just heard the words molesting children in a joke context. And because, and thought I was making light of molesting children, which I guess you kind of have to say, in a way, I was. I suppose. I mean, if I'm making a joke where right. the humoristic content comes from, most people find molesting children funny in a certain way. Not when it really happens, but just the idea, right?
I don't know if we can say most people.
Yeah.
Well, I don't know if
it, look, the idea.
I don't
look,
find
the
it idea, funny. Well,
but you
the
find
idea.
It,
it's not. But I don't.
It's
think
funny
you
that the that there's people out there that are molested. Come on.
No, well, it's forget it. It's
no,
not
it's
funny.
It's just like dark.
You have to make it.
The fact that but there's humor in the darkness of you, the human mind, of the craziness. Of,
okay.
Like a serial killer is it? You can make it funny. You know.
You can make it funny.
Right.
Right.
Yeah. But what I'm saying is like you know. But there's humor, like we've all laughed at the joke about the pedophile that says to the kid, hey, give if you get my car, I'll give you a piece of candy, and the kid says, give me the whole bag, you can come in my face.
Oh God.
I've never heard that,
but that
I thought that was a classic.
I don't know what classic what works you're quoting.
But anyway, the point is that you're right, although that joke I've stopped doing in Aruba.
Really?
Because the only place I've ever had a problem with that joke
just
is Aruba.
In Aruba.
Just in Aruba. And in any context where it's like a corporate gig, I wouldn't do
You're not
going
to do this at
I'm
corporate.
Not going to do it at a corporate gig unless it's like a corporate gig for the Pedophile Association.
NAMBLA.
Yeah, we were one of those, whatever. But
NAMBLA is the corporation.
Their annual fundraiser. Of course I'll do the joke. They insist on it. But in any other context, I'm glad Lisa's not here because she'd poo-poo that. She's poo-pooing all of my zingers tonight.
Oh.
They haven't been great zingers, Dan. I got to be honest. The pterodactyl burger?
Yeah, because that's how long, right? Don't you get the pterodactyl was extinct
millions
of years ago.
I get it.
That's a hot one. Hamilton was laughing, weren't you, Hamilton?
I laugh when I'm uncomfortable.
You're putting him in a zone of darkness right now.
No. He's in a zone of pterodactyl.
I was laughing because I love your connection to the Flintstones. I know you and how much you love the Flintstones, and that's what
I make no
laugh.
Secret of that.
Yeah, I know.
Now, I wouldn't say it on Twitter because I might get some backlash.
Right.
That's right. Forget it.
But so it makes me laugh when we have Flintstones reference.
But I really think that, back to your point, I really think that sometimes people, are just, they're waiting to be outraged.
Oh, totally.
Like, just waiting. I mean, can you imagine going through life where you're waiting to not have a good time.
Oh,
I mean, I just
terrible
can't
way to live.
Imagine how people survive like that.
Yeah. It's the only joy they get is that little second of...
I can relate to it on some level because I have that with Noam Dorman. I'm always I'm waiting to pounce. I don't know what it is. But
really?
Well, the thing about Noam is he never admits he's wrong.
Well, no.
And he thinks he's always right.
There are certain personalities that love debate and they love
right.
to go back and forth. And right. Noam enjoys that, I would
right.
say.
Right. He doesn't enjoy my outright haranguery, though.
Haranguery.
Haranguery.
No, but in any case. We have some... who's around? We got Sam. I'm just wondering whether we should add another comic to the mix.
Are you saying Ryan is not...
I'm saying Ryan
enough
is fantastic, but the beauty of this show is that we can, at any moment...
Call this guy over.
We can call over... there's Sam Morrill, Seton Smith. Sam Morrill! This is Sam Morrill, another one of these young kids that I really like, but at the same time, I'm scared that he's going to pass me.
Pass you?
In the business.
Surpass him.
Surpass me.
Right.
These young kids in the business, they seem to be getting a lot of shit, and I feel like I'm being put out to pasture.
That's how it always feels.
But well, anyway,
feel,
Sam Morrill.
That's how I feel with like all the young little...
You are the young little.
Well, there's younger. That should make you feel even older.
Sam feels like that,
Sam, what are you, 29?
It never ends. And the people above us feel the same way.
Yeah.
It never ends. Everybody feels that way.
I should just be grateful for what I have, right?
Exactly.
I don't have hyperthyroidism.
Dan,
is this a breakthrough?
Yeah, exactly. Look at this.
Is this a breakthrough moment?
Well, no, logically speaking, I should. There's a lot of logic, logically
Dan
speaking.
Dan doesn't live on the logic plane for the
Sam
most
Moore,
part.
Sam Moore, ladies and gentlemen.
We had to bring Sam in because I had to call over my own support because I'm not doing well.
You're doing fantastic. You're insecure.
I am a little insecure. I'm always insecure on
these.
This is
the Jewiest podcast ever so far.
Hey. No, Hamilton's not a Jew.
I know, but there's like
people
a neurosis.
Think I am.
It's like Jewish stereotype right there.
I seem Jewish?
You seem Seinfeld-esque.
Sometimes people
think
I'm
like
Jewish.
You look like Seinfeld and you talk like Seinfeld.
No, but he doesn't seem Jewish somehow.
Okay.
Ryan doesn't seem Jewish to me, but he does seem like a Jewish New Yorker.
I'm trying to Jew down.
Really?
Yeah, there's like a New York type of Jew that Ryan reminds
me of. I'm trying to Jew down the podcast. So I did purposely.
Well, I'm a Jew.
I know that, but you're right. Beat it. Now that I think of it. Because with Noam, it always gets very Jewy, this podcast. Oh, yeah. And I've said it before. I've said it 100 times. We got to Jew it down.
Right.
Yeah.
Now all my friends are Jewish, so I don't mind Jewing it up, if that's what you
I know, but
call
we're trying to... I don't know who's listening to this. It could be... I'm trying to appeal to the Trump fan base out there.
Oh, God. We've lost them with Noam anyway, a long time ago.
Moral of the story.
Yes.
Well, what's going on with you? What do you got cooking with Comedy Central? Because everybody but me has a Comedy Central deal of some sort.
I don't have a deal. I don't have a Snapchat show. I'm not even on... I don't check Snapchat. I don't do any of this stuff. I don't know. Nothing.
You got something cooking. You're holding out on me, you cocksucker. You don't want to annoy me, and you're right.
I have nothing with Comedy Central going on.
I have that reputation, right? The reputation of a guy that he's a nice guy, writes a good joke, but sometimes he's a little bitter. What's the word on me? Or maybe people don't talk about me at all.
No, everybody respects you.
Great joke,
I can't pay the rent with respect.
Well...
That's a little bit
you're
of a
writing
cannon.
For Rachel Feinstein's pilot, though.
I did. I mean, it's submitted now.
So you're wet. So you, if you, if
I was there for Punch Up. Yeah.
Oh, you're a Punch Up guy.
Yeah.
So if it goes to series,
sure.
Then you'll have that. You'll be a writer.
Uh-huh.
Do you want to be a writer, or that's just a way to make
no,
a living while you're pursuing your real
money.
Dream?
Yeah, comedy and doing podcasts with you.
With podcasting and stand up.
Mm-hmm.
But where do you want to go?
I want to tour.
You want a tour? That's what you wanted? That's the thing I'm trying to get out of.
I know. You hate it. What do you want? A sitcom, right?
I don't even know anymore. I think I just want to win the lottery and bolt the door leave the house.
If you won the lottery, would you ever do stand-up again?
Yes, here I would do it here at the Cellar, but I wouldn't leave town.
Yeah.
Anything that involves a plane or a train or a bus...
We've been discussing how Dan hates road gigs, like absolutely.
The problem with me
and
road gigs, though, is so much of my self-esteem comes from a new joke. And the road is where I get new jokes. It's hard for me to write in the city.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I write more
well,
in the city
now
than
we're
I do
getting,
on the road.
I knew I invited him over for a reason. Yeah. See, now we're getting somewhere interesting.
Yeah.
Most of my self-esteem comes from new jokes, too.
Yeah.
It gives me about 7 or 8 hours of self-esteem. Not a lot, but that 7 or 8 hours I wouldn't have had otherwise.
Well, you always got good new stuff, man.
I try. And
you
also because of you young motherfuckers.
Yeah.
Because, most of the reason I write new shit is because... That's all I have, as I said. I'm not going to out rich or famous Aziz Ansari, for example. But when he comes here and does his set, all I can do is I don't want people walking out saying, well, it's clear why that second guy isn't famous like Aziz. You know what I mean? I don't want them walking out saying, well, yeah, obviously there's a reason Aziz is famous.
You want to be at the urinal and saying, the really neurotic guy was really,
I want
really
them to
great.
Say, yeah. You know what? That other guy was just as good as I don't know why Aziz is the rich and famous one. He can keep his money and he can keep his fame. I just want people to know that he's not funnier than me.
Yeah.
But you also get joy out of the joke, right?
Yes,
just
I
out
do,
of
but
the
mostly
joke.
It's hostility toward Aziz.
Now we're getting somewhere. This is the real stuff.
Yeah, now we're really
but I do agree with you, Samuel, that that I mean I'm with you on that. My self-esteem is locked up in these stupid jokes, these bits and these that I'm doing.
Too much of it.
That's crazy.
I get too much of my happiness from comedy.
Where do you get your happiness, Ryan Hamilton?
I'm not always happy, but I don't know.
But when you are happy, where does it come from?
I don't know that it comes from comedy that often. I enjoy the show, and I enjoy writing and the creative process, but I try and have things in my life that make me happy outside of this business.
I was just going to say, you seem like a person who does... You don't put that much pressure on yourself to...
I try not to.
Yeah,
I feel like this. You can do what you can do, and there's a lot of people who really work hard and get a lot of things, and I try to work hard, and I feel like I'm rewarded by that, but I also feel like there's some things that are just out of your control in this business,
right.
So you can't worry too much about it.
Right.
You can do what you can do, and then, enjoy the ride for the rest of it.
God bless you, Ryan Hamilton. That is a man who is centered. He's, I tell you what.
He's not Jewish, he's Buddhist.
That's an even keel.
Yeah.
I'm not even sure. Even the Dalai Lama would look at you like, what the fuck are you talking about? What the fuck you talking about? You tell me. That's a wonderful attitude.
You got to. You got to have other things outside of this.
Well,
this business is brutal.
But it's hard.
It's hard.
What
it's
do
not
you have
easy.
Outside of this to keep you fulfilled? Because my whole life is like too much. You're right. It's too much comedy.
Yeah. I try to have friends, my family. I spend time with them. I don't know. I'm on the road so much, it's difficult. But I don't know. I read, I think about other things. I have other projects I'm working on that aren't comedy.
I have my French studies. I do have that.
Yeah, that's
you
good.
Know, I do have that.
That's going to keep you from getting dementia, I think.
It may well be, but you're assuming that I don't want dementia. It sounds
you're assuming that other mental illness isn't
well,
just
well, no,
as
it's like, I don't know, is dementia that bad? I guess it is bad, but yeah, I don't want to say it's pleasant, but yeah, it would might keep me. There are studies that suggest that you don't get dementia if you have a study foreign languages. So
can we go back to what you said about writing jokes? Because sure. I think it's interesting that you said.
By the way, now we're really cooking with gas.
Yeah, so stop interrupting me so we can keep going. writing on the road. It's hard for you to write here, but it's easier on the road.
I
Why
get distracted
do you
here. I love being here so much. I have to be a little unhappy to write, I think. I mean, when I'm happy when I'm in New York. I have stuff to do. Something's got to be a little wrong with me to get going.
I can't write on the road because I'm too busy trying not to kill myself on the road. I have no time to write. You understand?
Just checking ceiling fan weights and stuff.
I'm being bombarded with my own voices in my head, so there's no writing going on. I write in the city, and I test out new jokes, sometimes on the road and sometimes in the city. I'm trying to get a new TV set. And I've been really, because I want this TV set to be the best TV set I've done. Otherwise, I don't see the point of doing a TV set.
Right. Well,
that's great.
It's not like in the old days you did a TV set and you could actually get a lot of shit. Hello, Lisa. This is Lisa.
Hop on.
Lisa's back. We got another mic just for you. We brought Sam Morrill in because he happened to be hanging around. There's our friend Gad Elmaleh is here. He was here last. Hello, Gad. We don't have another mic for you. Fine. The Gad was, if you don't remember Gad, he was on the show 2 weeks ago or 3 weeks ago.
Yes.
So he's here. He's a French guy.
I'm back.
Hello, Lisa.
Hey, this is a cool feature.
So,
huh?
so this is something you don't get in any other podcast, and you know, you're not going to get it on any other show that I know of. We have Lisa Traeger has just done the initial 10 minutes of her MC spot.
Yes.
And now she is here to talk about it as it occurs.
Well, I'm usually a late night gal, and this is this is really new for me. I've never hosted the 7:30, and they're kind of nerds. You know what I mean? At the end of the day, they're just kind of faggot nerds. I don't know what to say.
They
did laugh at an N-word wet pussy joke.
Wait,
so
you did an N-word wet pussy joke?
I did.
Can we hear it?
No, I mean, that's basically it. I gave it away.
That's the whole joke is, hello, N-word wet pussy. Thank you.
So they liked that, but yeah.
But
it
did
was
you
a
say
struggle.
The N-word or you said the Eddie?
No, I say I have a joke I'm working on, but it's not the N-word, and I can't say the N-word because I would just get too wet.
I like that.
Madeline turned into a little schoolgirl.
That's a Sarah Silverman-esque. I'm not saying, you know, that it's anything, she's done anything like it, but I feel the essence of Sarah Silverman somewhere in that joke.
Yeah, I mean, I like her a lot. Oh, cool. Hi.
Oh, Keith. Keith Robinson. Oh, Keith, you're certainly
welcome. Hey. Just in time, we're just talking about the N-word.
We know you came.
We were just talking about the N-word. Perfect time.
Good to see you, Keith.
Wow.
Good to see you.
I don't know if you want to talk or
Rachel. Also, your makeup and titties look great.
Rachel, we're just talking about you because Sam apparently is writing for your.
I did punch up.
Oh, you did punch up.
No, you wrote for it. What do you mean punch? You didn't just do punch up.
Sam is trying to. Sam is trying to minimize it so I don't get hostile. Well, why didn't you ask me to do punch-up for you?
I will ask you to do punch-up when it gets to series. I just couldn't ask everybody in the world, but thanks, Natter.
I'm putting you on the spot.
Putting me on to confront me.
Well, no, you know.
So you're going to congratulate me, and you started lashing out.
No, I'm not lashing out. I'm just saying I'm available. I'm just saying I'm available.
No,
that's all.
Good
I'm available.
Because you're a brilliant man.
It's, it so happens I did the movie, the three-picture deal. I said no. And so I am available for punch up if you need me. If you don't need me, if you just need a shoulder to cry on.
Well, we're going to turn it in soon, so we'll see if it gets picked up.
Well, what is it?
It's
inside Rachel's rear. What was?
It's oh, that, you're right. It's a porn. It's called.
No, that's
it's
a joke.
Deep sea anal porn. I don't know if you know that category. There's normal anal, and then there's deep sea anal.
No, I'm not familiar with that.
Oh, don't you play your games with me. I know you are. Well, all about deep sea.
I don't, maybe you're at Comedy Central says you signed a secrecy agreement so you can't talk about your pilot. I don't know. You cannot talk about your pilot.
Nobody cares.
Keith, do you feel like the Godfather right now?
I know.
Everyone's kissing him. He's gotten four kisses.
Yeah.
I know. Keith is getting so much pussy these days.
No idea. Ever since the stroke, I've been plenty.
Was it an Artie situation with the Gumas just lined up?
No, Artie had millions of dollars. Millions of dollars behind it. Y'all have Walmart money.
I know. We can sue Keith. You got to sue somebody.
Did you have sex with your nurses or sexually harass them or anything?
Yes, of course.
Okay. He tried to saw their asses off.
Money.
We visited him in the hospital. He had a little butter knife and he was trying to saw their butts off with it. Anybody liked, he's like, let me see if I can get a piece.
Good. We're all moved and happy to see Keith is back. And I don't know if.
Yeah, I'm back.
Yeah,
and you're going to be performing back here soon because Ray Allen is going to have to do all your spots if you don't come.
Yeah,
back.
There's only so much ponytail we could take. Right? I mean, Jesus, soon, get back here.
Soon I'll be coming back.
Yeah,
good.
Good.
You've all been doing your material. It's going great.
I'm going
hard. My special about South Philly is unbelievable. Off the chain, Laughspin says.
Oh, man.
Laughspin.
Lisa, so Sam was talking about how it's really hard for him to write jokes here.
Uh-huh.
Because he's busy and he's happy.
Oh,
and
yeah.
Do you find it easier to write jokes on the road or when you're kind of away from your day-to-day?
I just mostly chat. I don't, like, go write jokes.
Yeah. Oh.
I just chat it out. I figure it out on stage.
Really?
But do you find it easier on the road or here in the city to write? That's what Sam says. It's easier on the road, which I think
I do because I go to a coffee shop here. On the road, I just want to watch Bravo. I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't have a theory behind it.
By the way, I want to ask you, getting back to the emceeing, do you already know what you're going to say in the interstitial between comic set that you're going to be doing you bring off? Who's on stage? I can't quite see.
Seton Smith.
That's Seton Smith. You may remember him from the short-lived but critically panned show, Mulaney.
Yeah, I don't use it in the intro. I don't think he likes it.
I will say Lisa gives great intros.
She gives good intros.
Yeah, they're always authentic and real.
And
they're not.
How
just
do you
like,
intro me? I don't remember.
They're usually from the heart.
What do you say about me? I don't recall.
You're going to have a great time. He's been on TV a bunch, but who cares? He's just, you know, you're going to like it.
Yeah, it's not just a list of credits all the time. They're always different.
Nobody cares about the stupid credit. You're right. I mean, most MCs, they go up, they say, you've seen him on Letterman, you've seen him on Conan. Well, no, you haven't seen me on Letterman and Conan because you probably weren't watching.
Right.
And you sure as shit don't remember anyway. So how about here's a guy that's going to make you laugh, hopefully.
Yeah.
And that's all you need to say.
That's it.
I do think it's been a very good show, by the way. I know Lisa is may not be in accord with that analysis.
I think it's good.
I thought it was very, very good. Unfortunately, you missed some very good, interesting conversation because you were downstairs.
About the kitchen?
MCing. Well, we talked about... No, you were here for that. I don't know if you were here when I said that the last time they changed the menu was when they stopped serving pterodactyl
she
burgers.
Was here, oh, and she why was here. Are you making us all relive that? Because...
Because, you know, the pterodactyl's been extinct for millions of years. And that's how long they keep the same menu. Thank you for listening. Thank you for listening to... are we still called Live from the Table? Or
Do you have to end
at 8?
It's your show.
We don't have to, no, but...
No, but do you have to fill the time or you could just end it now?
No, because we stick in...
This is the best ending
of a show. We stick in, you know, we stick in clips of people's stand-up. So that the show will run an hour.
Oh, cool.
So we have to find this N-word, you know.
Yeah, so we're trying to find the N-word wet pussy bit. If we can. If we can find it. And you know, we'll put in something for... ideally, it relates to to what we've been talking about. So I don't know. I doubt that Hamilton has any jokes about pilot season. But if he did, I'll be damned if that wouldn't fit in quite nicely.
I think the hot air balloon thing we've already
used. Oh, yeah, the hot air balloon, right. Sam Morrill, everybody. Thanks for stopping by
impromptu.
Thanks
for having me, dude.
And you can see Sam.
Anytime.
You know, at places that you can
see
him.
Come out? Gotham, April 22nd and 23rd.
Oh, okay.
And keep your eyes peeled for a hopefully new pilot, a show on the Comedy Central, I believe it's called, network. And they will be airing, hopefully, Rachel's television show. Welcome back to Keith Robinson. We love you. And I'm not a person that says I love you very. I haven't told my father I loved him ever.
Oh, the breakthrough.
What?
Thank you for listening, everybody. We'll be back next week with another great program. Hopefully, Noam will be out on bail by then. And we'll see you next time.